Join me in the opening treatment. We just surrender to the one mind, the one power, and the one presence, that which we call God, infinite good. And for the rest of this time, we allow ourselves to be open and receptive to the word, knowing that each of us hears whatever we need to hear. My intention this morning is that you receive some pearl, something that you can take home with you, so during the week you feel supported and empowered in every endeavor. This morning we are in that consciousness and willingness to let it all go, to release the past, and to allow this present moment to empower us, to guide us, to protect us, and to direct us in right and imperfect ways. Open and receptive, body, mind, and soul, we surrender. We let go and we let God. We are grateful to have this time together. And so it is. Because most of these things floating around are things from the past. And then we get very distracted by these junky thoughts. Is wasting time with things that don't truly matter anymore, or holding on to past history, really forwarding your life? That's a question we'd have to ask ourselves. Are some of the things that don't really matter anymore, some of the things that we're holding on to, are they enriching and enhancing our lives so that our lives are being forwarded? Forward in a way with grace and with ease? Does it really celebrate the enrichment of life and the enrichment of your life? When your mind is clogged with worry, how many of you are worriers? Just kind of by birth, it's just something you just do, you just worry. When your mind is clogged with worry, which is worthless. I hate to be the first to maybe announce this to you, but that your worry does nothing for what you're worried about except make it worse. And worry is just worthless. It really is an energy clogger. It is an energy drainer. It does nothing but pull us down. It's a waste of time, and it is a waste of energy. And can you really think clearly about anything when you're worrying? No, you really can't think clearly about much of anything, because worry so occupies such a space in mind that it almost becomes a habit. And that seems to be all that we can focus on is worry. So it clogs our mind. But wait, you don't have to give it up yet. The other problem with worry is that it lives in the future. Just think about that. Just notice when it starts to begin, you know, when it first knocks on the door of your mental household, it kind of silently, quietly goes, hello, hello. And then it begins to expand and it gets a little bit louder and a little bit louder. And you really can't think clearly about much else. And then you recognize that you're thinking about the future, that most of this worry space is about the things that could happen that never happen. Most of the time, never happen. Most of the things we worry about in the future actually never happen. And what we focus on manifests. So if we're focusing on worry in the future, guess what it is we're attracting, and guess what it is we're bringing into our future. But our future is really the present moment, because that's the only moment that we can actually experience. So we bring more and more worry in, and we invite situations and circumstances and conditions that have worry as a very close relative. So you don't have to ask for much, you just have to start in that vibration, and then pretty soon what you discover is you have many, many more things to worry about. Remember that worry, no matter who or what it is about, is not a virtue. Worry is not a virtue. I remember in the old days when a relative would say to me, "Oh, I've been so worried about you." It used to feel so good. It was almost like, "Oh my goodness, they really love me. They were worried about me." But how about if we stop worrying about those we love and we just love those that we love and we just keep sending them more love and more compassion? The other thing I've discovered about worry is it's sort of like a rocking horse. You know, no matter how fast it goes, you just never move anywhere. You just keep rocking and rocking and rocking. You can't get rid of it. So this morning, one of the things that I would recommend and strongly suggest is that we together, and as much as we may be attached to people or places or things, would we be willing to let worry go? Just let it all go. That doesn't mean you don't feel compassion and love for those things that you used to call worrying about. And the other wonderful thing about letting things go, if you miss them too much, you can always come back to it. You know, if you miss fear so much, you know you can always return to it. If you miss worry so much, you can always bring it back. Except that everything kind of comes under the heading of fear. Certainly worry does. Worry comes under the heading of fear. Like most junk collectors, we accidentally ended up with quite a collection of it, or it was maybe some well-meaning gift from friends and relatives. And now I think, as most of us know, that love and fear just cannot exist in the same space. So love and fear cannot exist in the same place, in the same space, or even at the same time. So if you're thinking love, you can't be thinking fear, right? So we choose one or the other. So this morning, we're all going to just choose to think love right where we're sitting. And just imagine the power of that love. You're sitting here, but all that love is going out into the universe, going out to your loved ones, going out to all those people who you used to worry about. But now what you're doing is you're sending them love. And along with sending them love, you're sending them strength and you're sending them power. And you're also sending them healing, because the greatest agent for healing is love. So your nature is love and order. That's just the nature of the universe, and therefore, we are the microcosm of the macrocosm. It is our nature as well. Anything that we hold on to through fear blocks us from having more love in our life. Anything that we hold on to, if fear is the motivator, it can only block love from coming into your life. Think about that for a moment. Try not to argue with yourself about it. If you want to argue with me later about it, I'm happy to do that. But anything that you hold on to through fear, false evidence appearing real, is blocking you from having more love in your life. Let's look at it this way. If I'm worried about something, if I have an issue about something, if I'm afraid of something, then what I'm really saying is that I don't have it because I have this fear about it. Well, the fear usually is somewhere in the area of lack and limitation. So we want to look at the fears that we have, and the motivation of fear many times is that we're just afraid to be all that we can be. So we make up these stories. We make up stories, false evidence appearing real, about all of these various scenarios that could happen, much like worry. And again, rarely do they happen. I'm going to talk a minute about fear not as the enemy, but let's look at what fear does. Fear actually suppresses the vital energy force called love. Fear actually suppresses these tissues and cells and organs from functioning fully. It does all kinds of other crazy things to your heart rate and your blood pressure as well. But it mostly is suppressing that vital life force and energy of love, if you remember that. It stops us from being who we really are and what we are here to do. It is not a good enough excuse to be out of principle or to be irresponsible. Oh, whoops, it was because I was scared. That's not a good enough excuse to be out of principle or to be irresponsible. Like many of the things that we hold onto into life, fear takes up a lot of space. And just because you've had it for so long, it's really no excuse to keep it. It has served its purpose in your life time and time again, and now it's time to let it all go. Now what you've done is you've made space for something new. And all those gifts that you will be receiving as a result now will fit perfectly. Let me segue for a minute. I do not believe in making fear an enemy. I did not believe in denying fear, resisting it, or resisting experiences that perhaps could include fear. I don't believe in looking at any experience in life and denying it or trying to resist it. We have to remember the experiences in life come to us so that we may learn, so that we may grow, and so that we may be strengthened. And many times that may look like fear, but that's because you've said so. That's because that's what you've chosen to label it. That isn't what it really is. It's just, wow, a new experience in life. If we would begin to relabel things and to name things differently, then when we claim things, we'd actually be claiming what we wanted, not what we didn't want. It's like, wow, look at this opportunity for a new possibility of my growth, to do something different. That doesn't mean that you then deny the feeling, if the feeling is that you have fear, but call it what it really is. Fear is just too big of a word, and it just defines too many things. So try to look at things as what they really are in an individual capacity, rather than, oh my God, this just feels like fear. That's just what you've named it. But as I've said over and over again, you know the butterflies that you get in your stomach when you're really, really excited? Aren't those the same butterflies you get in your stomach when you're really, really scared? Yeah, some are just flying at formation and others aren't. But they're actually the same group of butterflies. They're just flying differently. And you've just decided, oh, this is scary butterflies and this is really excited butterflies. But it's actually the same feeling. So you could always say to yourself, I am really excited about this new opportunity. And I guarantee you, your body will feel different, your mind will feel different, and you will feel absolutely different. Okay, fear suppresses the vital force of energy. Would you all agree? So you have that experience when you're fearful. You don't feel as though you want to be really expressive. When you have fear, usually you feel constricted. You feel a little bit pulled back. Your body might contract a little bit. You don't feel so out and expressive, so really all present. There's a part of us that's withdrawn and a part of us that is restricted. So if love is our nature, then holding on to stuff through fear is not allowing you to be all that you can be. It is really causing stagnation. If we could take a camera and look at the energy of fear, we would see that it's kind of a low, dark, slow vibration. And those kind of vibrations stagnate. They kind of find pockets of places and park themselves. Love is an energy that's light, and it's always flowing, and it's always movable, and it's always a higher and lighter energy. That brings me to my next point that I'm sure we can all relate to, and that's procrastination. Anybody? Anybody suffer from a little bit of procrastination? Well, you're so over procrastination this afternoon, you'll never do it again. You know why? Because what is procrastination? It's stagnation. That's what procrastination is. What you're saying is, no, stop the flow of life, please. Stop evolution. No, stop. Many times when things begin to move fast in life, especially if we feel out of control, any of you been there where it's like things are really moving fast. Some things are good, some things I didn't ask for, but it's moving really, really fast. There's a tendency to want to stop it, to want to start procrastinating. But then that causes a stagnation. But that's the evolution of life. Listen, if you weren't ready for life to come like this at you, it wouldn't be doing that. But because you're fully equipped, because you're ready, because you're willing, and because you're able, you get to have all that stuff. Somebody once said to me, I don't like that statement you make. And I said, what statement? That statement where it says, to whom much is given, much is required. I don't like that statement, and I wish you'd stop saying it. I just said it again, and this is why I say that. If you look at it enough, to whom much is given, you have been given life. You have been given genius powers in your mind. You have been given a spirit that knows everything, that isn't from fear, but is from power and from love and from faith. That's what I mean. To whom much is given, much is required. The Infinite said that because you're fully equipped. Because you are fully equipped. It's just that you may not be aware of it. You may not recognize it. And many times it looks like, how am I going to handle all of this? You're not. And you're not supposed to. You're supposed to let it all go. Let it all go. And in ways that we know not of, it all seems to work out. Yes, we treat and move our feet. Yes, we have intentionality. Yes, of course, we're in control of our lives. But what are you really in control of? The way you think, the way you feel, what you believe, and what you decide to do with your body. That's what you're in complete control of, right? Are you in control of anything outside of yourself? Not so much. We'd like to be, wouldn't we? Especially other two-legged individuals. We wish we could control some of them, right? I don't know about you, I can't even control my four-legged ones, so I've given up on the two-legged ones. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about procrastination as stagnation. Why do I say it's stagnation? Because it's an energy drain on the psyche to have to store all that unfinished business. Here's what I've learned. You pay a lot for storage space in mind. You pay a lot for storage space in mind. And what storage space am I talking about? Promises unkept, unsettled grievances, articles you've borrowed, money you've borrowed. It's time to pay up, and it's time to settle it. Pay up and settle it. When you stop putting things off, you will sleep better at night. That's just one of the side benefits. When you stop putting things off, you will sleep better at night. And the other wonderful thing is that your energy is harmonized. And it's not being invested in a negative way. Because when we procrastinate, here's what we have to do. We have to make excuses. We have to look for reasons so that we can justify why our life looks a little bit undone at the moment. Harmony and order bring clarity to life and also take out the mystery of it. When we bring harmony and order to life, it absolutely makes things clearer. And it also allows us to make decisions, and it takes that mystery out of life. You know, I was cleaning out files and papers the other night, and I was thinking to myself how many times I have engaged in this process of letting go and releasing. And then I looked at how much it challenges me. And it always challenges me to look at the things that I'm attached to. The big things, the little things. But it points it out to the attachment that I have to just certain things. Many times it makes me feel uncomfortable. Many times it makes me feel like, well, you're not very spiritually evolved if you can't let go of that or release that. This is no good. It's taking up space. Yet if I let it all go in my mind, kind of like a Zen practice, then my only goal is my awareness. And I'm not judging how I think the process should look. Then it becomes about my awareness. And by my awareness, I mean that I am aware of where my attention is. And for whatever that time span is, I'm not living outside of myself. That I have brought myself to the present moment of releasing. And I'm in the business of letting go and releasing, not judging the process of how I should do it faster, how I should do it better, how I should have already done it, or if I had done it before now, I wouldn't have so many files now. If I had done it, you hear what I'm saying? The would've, could've, the places where we should all over ourselves, that's what I'm talking about. Instead of that, it becomes about engaging in the consciousness of the present moment of the process. It allows me to be in the moment, just engaged in the process, rather than outside of the process in some other foreign space ahead of myself and then judging the process. There's a big difference. When we can actually be fully present, we have a much greater and grander experience of our clearing out, and we do get a lot of clarity, and then it becomes very metaphysical. It doesn't become about anything that we're really throwing out. It's really not about the article. It does become about the spiritual principle and metaphysical, and every time you throw something out, it's like, there goes another grievance. There goes another negative thought. Or there goes something else in the past that I am now willing to release and to let go of so that my intention may be fulfilled, because I know what I'm up to is making space for the new, making space for my own growth, for my own learning, for the things that are greater and grander for where I am in life right now. When I let go of my concepts, my opinions, and my beliefs about how it all should look, and this goes for anything in life, I'm open to my own experience, and I'm watching and witnessing and observing what is going on within me as well as around me. And one of the other things I've noticed is the judging voice stops, the critical voice also stops. I think one of the reasons that we are apprehensive or we put off decluttering is because of the criticism that we go through in a result of doing it. We may criticize ourselves, as I said before, why didn't I do this sooner? Why did this take so long and now it's such a huge chore? rather than patting ourselves on the back and saying, good for you, congratulations. You decided to tackle this, and you're doing such a great job. Engage in the experience. In other words, you lose the habitual way of usually doing things, not really being present. And then you let that creative spirit the creative power, actually, of spirit guide us in its own perfect and complete way. And it gives us messages. It allows us to see the lesson. It lets us see that, you know what, this is such a teachable moment. It looks like it's throwing papers away or throwing away my mother's old collection of frogs that I held dearly to me. But I don't know, I don't really like frogs that much. She liked frogs. And I inherited the frogs. I don't have much place for the frogs, and I hate dusting frogs. And some of the frogs are so little, and some of them are quite ugly, actually. So I'm going to allow myself to release the frogs. You hear what I'm saying? And I know she'll be totally okay with it. You know, she'll be okay with it. And those are the things that allow us to get closer to our own hearts and our own reasons for, why am I holding on to this? What is the real reason? Here's some really stinky news. We're not taking anything with us. I don't know if you're aware of that. We're not taking anything. Not even today, what you're wearing. That ain't going with you. You are just going to move on and move forward into the next transition. And no possession is going with you. And some lucky individual or individuals are going to inherit all those fabulous and wonderful things that you have saved and saved and saved. And those are some of the things I think that allow us to grow and allow us to look at things in a different way. As we release the things we no longer use or no longer love, we stop identifying with that which was, and we actually come back to that which is God. That's what I think is important about releasing and letting go. And it isn't because it's just such a good thing to do and it's cleansing. It's because it's damaging not to. And if we can take it to the mental household, and begin releasing worry and doubt and fear or procrastination or lack or limitation, then we really have inherited the kingdom. It's difficult to inherit the kingdom when your kingdom is so crowded that you can't fit another thing into it. The kingdom that we live in within and as well as our material kingdoms. Sometimes we have to look at that and we have to allow ourselves to create some space and an atmosphere where some air can circulate. So again, as we release the things that we no longer use or no longer really love, we can look and see what we are not attached to, because the goal really is not to be attached to anything. We can love it all, but we can't be attached to it, can we? Your children are going to grow up and they're going to move away just like you did. Our parents are going to move forward and they're going to move away wherever that is. Our pets, our friends, our dearly beloved people, everyone is going to move. Everyone is going to evolve forward and move into another segment of life. Part of our learning in this university of life is not to be too attached to anything or anyone. Attach yourself to God as your most intimate, dedicated, and faithful relationship. Whatever word you want to use for God, it doesn't make any difference to me. But that thing within you that is love and all loving. That we can attach ourselves to because that's an anchor. And that anchor will never go away. But all the things that we can see with our naked eye are all temporary. They're going to move forward, change forms, do many beautiful and wonderful things in life, and some of them will make us feel great and wonderful, and some of them will not. Some of them will cause us to feel sad or unhappiness, but not forever, and we don't need to stay there. The ability to expand and include all of it in life is a great ability, and that's what this principle offers us. Not to negate things, but to learn by them and to take them with us as we are on this trail. Everybody's blazing some new trail. Not to get discouraged, but to allow these things to build our confidence and our self-assurance. Not to allow other people, places, and things to stop us so that we procrastinate and let that beautiful energy that we've created stagnate. Keep moving forward with the gusto and the zip and the energy that you have. Allow yourself to stay inspired and lifted up so that that's what you do for others. That's why we're here. We are lifted up so that we can lift others up. Again, releasing the things that we no longer need, that are no longer useful to us in our mental household as well as our physical household. We stop identifying with that which was, and we allow ourselves to identify that which is God. And then we break the grip of procrastination and stagnation, and we just let it all go. Thank you so much. God bless. Close your eyes if you choose to. And let's just know right here and right now that God is in this room and that we are filled with that love, that power, and that presence. And there is nothing that we cannot accomplish. That we have let it all go. That we are allowing the tender, loving kindness to sail through our bones, our tissues, our cells, our mind, our hearts. And that God mind is leading us to exactly where we need to be. We're so grateful to be in this moment at this time, knowing that right where we are, God is. And that power and that presence goes forth with us throughout the entire week. We are so grateful. We are so blessed. And we are so loved, loving, and lovable. We have let it all go. Hallelujah. Amen. And so it is.